It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The busiest 60 minutes of your day, the Jason Wilde and Tim Van Voren Homer Hour. They're both so historically good. Jason Wilde is on the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline, and Tim Van Voren is on the Tim Van Voren Yingling Hotline. How to get your own hotline? You are three-time Wisconsin something. Tim Van Voren, three-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, and Jason Wilde, three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. You should always know that you can subscribe on YouTube whenever or wherever you're listening. We are live on YouTube. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, and comment along with us. Search ESPN Wisconsin on YouTube and subscribe today. And we are the only source where you can go for a Brewers home game to find out if the dome is open or closed. I don't know if we want to make the official time 5:02 when you can find out if the dome is open or closed. Anybody watching on YouTube would now know, and it's been taken. I don't know that we want to tape that or put that up on Twitter, so because we really want people to watch on YouTube. If they're not watching on YouTube, then it's on them. They can do whatever else they want to explore as far as whether the dome is open or closed.
They won't know until 6 o'clock on social media, Homer.
All right. Sounds good. Now we get to, again, the most important thing in sports in the state of Wisconsin today is that Miz is not pitching today. At some point, I guess I could mention when he's pitching next, but I don't like that. Every day, the show starts with, is Miz pitching today or not? Because that's the most important piece of information in the state of Wisconsin. Speaking of the Miz and all the different things, haven't made a list of where they mention the things he's doing that has never been done before, or hasn't been done since, proving again that that's how he is not only good, he's historically good. And John Smoltz, I think he's in the Hall of Fame. I got to check. I would assume that he is. He's deaf with the Atlanta Braves. But he's an analyst and very smart and very talented. And he was on, what show was he on?
Rich Eisen Show.
Rich Eisen Show. And they had he was asked about other pitchers, and then he was asked about the Miz, and as I expected with John Smoltz, he gave a rather detailed, appropriate explanation of all the things that enter his mind when thinking about the Miz and how well he's pitching.
He's a freak. I hope he doesn't fall victim to every narrative that we talk about, and that is, when is he going to get his Tommy John? You know, I've been banging that drum for a long time. I hope the young man stays healthy. He has a unique way that he throws a baseball. I wouldn't say it's prototypically perfect, but he's got genetics that allow him to throw a baseball well beyond what's normal. You know, for Milwaukee and how they go about their business, tremendous organization with less resources, and I think he's a byproduct of that.
There it is, as only John Smoltz can do. Now, if I said that, then there would be some why do you have to bring that up? Why do you have to bring that up that he could have Tommy John? Because, as you just heard from John Smoltz, this is so good, we need to play it again. Exact same thing one more time.
He's a freak. I hope he doesn't fall victim to every narrative that we talk about, and that is, when is he going to get his Tommy John? You know, I've been banging that drum for a long time. I hope the young man stays healthy. He has a unique way that he throws a baseball. I wouldn't say it's prototypically perfect, but he's got genetics that allow him to throw a baseball well beyond what's normal. You know, for Milwaukee and how they go about their business, tremendous organization with less resources. And I think he's a byproduct of that.
I feel like we got to get him on. Like, what do you do to prevent the injury or the Tommy John? One more time. I want to listen more closely.
He's a freak. I hope he doesn't fall victim to every narrative that we talk about, and that is, when is he going to get his Tommy John? You know, I've been banging that drum for a long time. I hope the young man stays healthy. He has a unique way that he throws the baseball. I wouldn't say it's prototypically perfect, but he's got genetics that allow him to throw a baseball well beyond what's normal. You know, for Milwaukee and how they go about their business, tremendous organization with less resources. And I think he's a byproduct of that.
And that's the next question. I don't know if Eisen asked. So what do you do? What do you tell young pitchers to do? Or you can't do anything? I'm not sure if John Smoltz is saying you just hope it doesn't happen to him. But if there's nothing you can do, or I kind of indirectly got the impression that he thinks so much of the Brewers organization that they'll do whatever's necessary or whatever's possible. But that's the question I want to ask John Smoltz. So you're now in charge of the future of the Miz. What are you going to do to limit the possibility of a Tommy John or an arm surgery? We still don't have the answer to that, and that would appear to me to be the most important thing. And then John Smoltz, of course, helped create one of the new introductions anytime I say the Miz.
He's a freak. He's a freak. Super freak. He's a freak. He's a freak. Super
freak. Now, the discount liquor Twitter poll question is, who's a bigger freak, Giannis or the Miz?
He's a freak. He's a freak. Super
freak. Yeah. The A added that one. We can just, as long as we have one version that just does it, he's a freak. Do you have just that?
He's a freak.
Yeah. Anytime anybody says the Miz, automatically A plays this.
He's a freak.
Yeah. To help appreciate how special he is and how special it is to be around. Yes. The Miz automatically gets the follow-up.
He's a freak.
I say the Miz.
He's a freak.
You say the Miz.
He's a freak.
A, say the Miz.
The Miz.
He's a freak.
All right. Joining us now is Sugar Free. He probably doesn't want to talk about the Miz.
He's a freak.
Nicely done. Sugar Free, you're on 94.
I'll talk about the Miz.
No, you're
He's
not.
He's a freak.
Hold on. Nicely done. A is on top of it. You're not required to do anything.
I'd like to talk about two things really quick.
You called in to talk about
I'm gonna give you your answer. I'm gonna give you your answer on the Miz. How to prevent this. Okay? He needs to pitch only 6 innings in his career. 6 innings. Don't push him to 7. Never push him to 7. Less pitches mean less chances of Tommy John.
We will get John Smoltz or somebody else. I don't think we could get 755 Jerry Augustine, but I don't know that he would be the expert on how to prevent the Tommy John. But when we get John Smoltz on, which we will, then we will play that from Sugar Free, and we'll see what he says. Because my guess is that you're wrong. You know why you're wrong? Because if it was that simple, more people would be doing it to prevent Tommy John's. And Tommy John seem the same percentage now than the way they've been. What?
Okay, the only way to do this is not throw a fastball, don't throw a slider, anything that with high velocity.
All right, now,
the only way, no one has ever said, pitch a pitcher 5 innings.
Well, no, but hold on. They don't have to say it. Some people are closers. Some people pitch less than 6 innings every time they pitch. And they seem to get Tommy John as much, though I'm not sure. You could be right, but it seems odd that you would be, because if that was the answer, we'd look it up and everybody would say that, hey, it's fewer innings.
The easy. Yeah, you're right. But
yes,
the
I guarantee
way,
you this. If you never pitch, you'll never get the Tommy John. You'll never need the Tommy John. I don't know many. We should call and see how many chefs have needed Tommy John. Yes, if you don't pitch,
exactly.
You won't get Tommy John. All right.
Exactly.
So we will. We need to explore this, but I would agree with John Smoltz. He would assume that the Brewers have and are exploring. And they do have, like, you only want to improve or increase a certain percentage of innings from year to year for all the pitchers. All right, sugar-free, part two, which is probably the reason you really wanted to call. I know it has
yes.
to do some with the Packers, because you're the Packers
yes.
guy. What are you worried about?
Oh, Trey Smack, 5-for-9. Come on, man. Do not have a good history on kickers the last. What, 6 years?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
We agree. This will go down as a mistake. This
yes.
is just a question of when they resolve it, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense. That
makes none. Zippo, Homer.
You have
you're
the
right,
old man
100%.
There. You have the old man there. And yes,
yes.
He failed at the end of last year, but he has a great history.
Yes.
And he's pitched. He's kicked well. And
did
so
we all love
you
him
see
the year
how it
before?
Goes.
Did we not love him the year
well,
before?
Well, and I'm not
did
saying.
Did we not love McManus
right,
the year before?
And I'm not saying he should definitely be the kicker to start this year. All I know is
correct.
You don't get rid of him until Sugar Smacks that you're the guy. So
correct.
Yes, they will do something regarding the kicker. I do not expect him to be the kicker in the postseason, unless I should say for the whole season. I do not believe that he will be the kicker for the whole season. Want to join that club?
Yeah.
So they might 100%. Use him, and then he rests or gets hurt, and. He could come back at the end. But, yeah, the approach they've taken is idiotic.
Idiotic. And and the fallacy that this kicker kicks it straight all the time, that is a fallacy. Make sure you use this as a whenever he does not kick it straight, use my words. It's a fallacy.
Well, but nobody really kicks it straight, right?
Well, they praised him always for. I saw him not kick it straight. I've looked back at his tapes, but he always
you looked
kicked it
at
straight.
You. All right, hold on. Joining us now is Sugar Free. He checked some tapes of Trey Smack. All right, tell us the tapes you looked at and what you learned. Can I look at these tapes? Are they like at YouTube or?
They're all over. You have to look. You have to investigate.
I don't want to look that badly. You're the guy. You're my kicking expert. All right, Sugar Free, we got a break after you tell me what you learned from the three things you learned about Trey Sugar Smacks from the tape.
Well, that he does not always kick it straight.
He does not. All right, hold on. I'm writing this down. He does not. Hold on. He does not always kick it straight. When it doesn't go straight, is there a most common thing?
Yes.
What
left.
Left? He misses left. All right. Misses left. And he is a right-footed kicker, I'm assuming.
Correct. That's a hook.
All right. Let's not get too technical.
He did well at the combine. He kicked it straighter. Straight.
Hold on.
Hold on.
At the combine, did he kick straight like you saw in most games, or did he kick better than you saw?
I thought he kicked better than I saw.
Better. All right.
But remember what happened today. I wish I would have saw the kick.
Do you have any memory of like the first time Mason Crosby kicked or any other kickers did 9? I'll ask Jason that. Okay, he doesn't always kick it straight. He misses left when he misses, and he kicked better and straighter at the combine than what you saw in other tapes. That's only
correct.
Two things. Very good. Thanks, Sugar Free. That's the kind of stuff we want on this show. I mean, it's not as good as The Miz.
He's a freak.
But it has its spot. Jason Wilde next.
He's a freak. Super.
More
of
Jason's
the Homer
not
Hour
a freak.
Coming
you
up next
do
on
that.
ESPN
we
Wisconsin
don't play with
and the
this.
ESPN
it's a disrespect
Wisconsin
for
app.
The Miz.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde, as three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, he is this on the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. Good afternoon, Jason.
Good afternoon, Homer. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Well, I just got accused of misquoting Strolf, and then he put me on the air, so now I'm concerned that I don't like to misquote people.
Well, who? I'm not aware of any. Was that off the air?
I think I misquoted him on the air, allegedly. Right, Strolf?
Yeah, that's right. But I don't want to take Homer's time away. You and I can.
Yeah, because we need to get right to Josh Jacobs and what Matt LaFleur said, which tells me that I don't know what's going to be resolved, but it's nothing serious, because if it was going to be serious or bad, he wouldn't have said what he said today. Do you agree with me on that, Jason?
Largely. I don't want to misquote him.
Business as usual? Was that. Is that
yeah. Now I would argue that that was within the construct of it's on the field is business as usual.
Yeah.
I think that's how.
But
I
would you
it.
Now, say I, business as usual in any regard if you are anticipating a charge that would be look bad?
No, and in fact, why I thought it was interesting, and maybe this was related to me misquoting Strolf, but we were on Sunday Karma the other day, and I had said that, you know, if he hasn't been charged. The DA's office has not charged him, so I think he's going to practice. And lo and behold, he did. Now, I think it was Craig. Strolf, correct me if I'm misquoting anyone, but someone on the panel suggested that if he is practicing, it would be an indicator that it is not viewed as something that is probably going to result in the most serious of charges.
Yeah.
Like, I agreed with the same thing, just in a different way.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's what I was getting at. And I agree with you on the, like, and look, I understand that this is not, not Mayberry by any means, but it is still a different dynamic than maybe some other NFL cities. And I would think that the Packers security guys have probably had conversations with people in the district attorney's office in an effort to get a gauge on, look, what do we need to be prepared for? What should we be expecting? Not, you know, nothing.
Strangulation is out. I want to be on record.
Well, I want to be on record saying that strangling someone is bad.
Of course it is. Yes. Terrible. They give you go to prison. But I don't think that occurred here is what I'm saying.
So I think this is, and I have ever since this broke last Tuesday, I like my job. I don't want to misspeak and get myself into some sort of trouble or get canceled.
Do you think I violated that? Or you should I be
think
worried?
I think you're less afraid of the line. But when you're old, you know, you're playing with house money.
Yeah,
at this
I can
point.
Say
me.
Old.
Yeah, yeah. I still got to work like legit work for quite a while. I got two kids that are going to go to college soon. But my point is that I don't want to be dismissive or cavalier when talking about this. Okay. So with that said, I'm also a journalist, and one of the things that is part of being a journalist is that you have a healthy dose of skepticism. You don't take everything at face value, good, bad, or indifferent. The old saying about if your mother says she loves you, confirm it, get it confirmed. I don't
That's good.
I think there's part of me when I started to hear a little bit more about the nature of the relationship and previous relationships where I thought, okay, maybe there's more to this story. And again, I don't want to be levying any accusations about anybody and what their motives are. I don't know anything of that happened that Saturday of Memorial Day weekend. All I would say is that it would appear, based on the way this story has evolved, and I know Strofe and I talked about this off the air, that's almost a week ago now, I think, right? Just about the idea of the wording in last Wednesday that they made the statement from the DA's office when they released him from jail and said that more investigation is required to determine whether charges are going to be formally filed. And again, I feel like there was a chance, there was an opportunity there. If they felt fairly confident that there was a case, that they wouldn't have said whether, they would have said which charges. And instead it was whether charges will be filed, and if so, what charges those will be. And that was the first, just being a language nerd, that was the first tip that I got off of, okay, maybe there's more to this story, and maybe this is not going to be as, I mean, I think I was talking to you shortly after the news broke of this last
same
Tuesday.
Afternoon, just minutes.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it is that what was alleged and what he was accused of is despicable behavior. But you know, and look, defense attorneys—it's their job to defend their client. It's right there in their title. So when they came out with a statement saying, you know, there's more evidence,
vehemently,
and, I think it,
vehemently,
yeah. So, again, I don't know where we'll ultimately land on this, but I would argue that the indicators are, including the fact that he was practicing today, the indicators are that this is not going to be as serious as first appeared.
Right. And then we have to emphasize that even if there are, even if there is nothing, he still could be suspended.
Yeah, so the legal look at their, the legal look at the police report, even if there are no charges formally filed, ultimately, they'll still look at the report and determine whether or not anything that is alleged in there that may not rise to the level of being criminally pursued in terms of charges is enough to constitute a violation of the personal conduct policy. And so, yes, he could still be suspended or somehow punished, but... Again, I think the early indications now, a week into it and where we stand based on him practicing today, would lead me to believe that that's less likely than certainly it felt like it was a week ago.
And what would you like to add about what you learned or want to pass along?
Yeah, I mean, look, there were a number of people. I didn't ask any Jacobs-related questions. Like... I don't know, maybe I'm soft, but like, I don't think it really does anybody any good to ask, you know, Matthew Golden, what kind of guy, Josh Jacobs is. Like, we know, you know, they're teammates and obviously he's going to say good things about him. I don't know enough about, their relationship, but that just felt like kind of one of those sound bites that we all need to get some sound from the locker room.
Yeah, my answer, you know, if you asked me what I would have said?
No. Homer?
Yeah.
What's Josh like?
I think at the current time, the best person to talk about Josh Jacobs is Josh Jacobs.
I like that. That's a really good answer. It's good. That's good. You should do some... I can't believe I'm saying this given some of the hot water
into
over the years.
I don't
you
want...
should give some PR lessons there.
No, because I've suggested other things. They go like... Why would you ever do that? I did want to ask you about my guy Cooper because he was the biggest disappointment for me of anybody on the team last year. And we had a discussion kind of like what position. I don't care where he played. It's not like they turned him into a punter. I just didn't observe him the way I observed him the year before in enough plays where you just went, they can't block the guy. And I don't think that that should disappear regardless of whatever system they're in or whatever his position is, we should still see, and I would defer to other players, and that if they're great, they always show greatness, and I believe he showed none other than you have said to me many times, the last game till he got hurt. You thought that was the best game
he had. He was great in that game.
So what happened? He's not as good as I thought he was. I oversold it.
As is often the case with you. You got a little bit out in front of your skis.
Defensive player of the week.
Yeah, right. Not rookie defensive player of the week.
Correct.
Defensive player of the week. And the last person
to do that was Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews.
So I'll be guilty. I admit I oversold it. Now that's what I'm asking is, do I have to change
you acknowledging that.
How good he is? Or because I'm not going to say that same thing. That he's going to be the best defensive player on the team, which I've said before last year.
Yeah, I want to see how they're going to – I mean, first of all, he's not going to be the best defensive player on the team.
Right. It would be other than Micah Parsons.
I would argue that right now, if I had to power rank him, I'd put him probably fourth or fifth behind Parsons, McKinney, Evan Williams, Javon Bullard, maybe.
Wow, we got to talk about that.
I talked to Javon briefly today, but I really want to – I was just talking about nonsense.
But you have Williams really right up there a little above him, or do you have pretty much the same?
I think they're used differently, but they're both really good at what they do. Evan Williams had a pick at the last –
It'll be
him ranging over to break up plays like – The other thing is the better he plays, the more creative they can get with McKinney. Okay. I didn't talk to McKinney today. I know he talked for a while. I haven't looked at the transcript yet. The thing about, to your point about Cooper, like there was a play where they lined him up on the edge today at like left defensive end. And I would argue that I don't think he had significantly fewer opportunities to make plays last year. I don't think that they took what he had done when he won those awards last year and gave him more opportunities in different ways, varied opportunities. I didn't think they did that. And I think that might be, you know, something that Jonathan Gannon will see differently. But I know this. I mean, my understanding of how Jeff Hafley viewed him, they wanted to have him more involved. They loved what he did as a rookie. Jeff Hafley was his coordinator. Remember his rookie year. Like, it's not like it was a new guy. He came in, you know, and was the new guy. Now it's the new guy. But I think he's too talented to not have more of an impact. He did not elevate it. You know, with what he did as a rookie and the excitement, you were not alone in feeling. We needed to see him play like he did in the Bears playoff game a lot more frequently. And it didn't happen for I'm sure a myriad of reasons, which is, people hate that, right? It's why, and here's the reason why.
Yeah. Well, he just should have been better. You can give me a ton of reasons, unless he lost a leg. He just should have been better, or I over-exaggerated how good he is, and that I did. Sugar Smacks, that's what I call the new kicker.
Interesting.
Yeah, we have Cheerios for the Brewers, and now we have Sugar Smacks. He didn't do well.
Jackson Cheerios?
Yes. I wanted them to throw out these little bags of Cheerios or things when he hits home runs, and nobody bought
it. How about when he gets walks?
He's doing that better. He had 2 days ago, he had maybe his best day ever at the plate. In addition to his hits, he had 2 walks. Yeah, it's still an issue. Not as big, but it's still not.
He's a keeper, though. I think we can agree.
No, yes. The question is about, and I'll say it again because they've already decided I'm an idiot. This was about being a superstar that you can't be. If you could get another young superstar who drew walks, I said I would trade him because you can, the history, you can only be so good if you can't without
a
certain
number of drugs. Presented publicly, though.
That's fine.
That's what happens.
I'm okay.
You've gotten caught up in the web.
But anyway.
So Sugar Smacks, as you're calling him.
And is there any history of the first time someone kicked? That it showed anything.
No, I don't think so. And by the way, it's probably not the first time he's kicked. It's the first time we've seen him kick.
Okay, first time he's seen him kick with that. Remember the first time you saw Mason Crosby a kick? Or Ryan Longwell? The knucklehead they had that was no good. Conway?
Yeah, Brett Conway. I know, and I think that's part of the point, right? Like, if it really mattered, I would remember those other guys. The first time I watched. Oh, my God. Mason Crosby was 10 for 10. He hit a 73-yarder at the end of practice. It was amazing. No. But 5 for 9 is not great. And, again, I think I might have been the only one who talked to Smack today. I think maybe I saw Tim Van Boren go over there after I had left. But I liked how he handled it. He's like, because I talked to Matt Orzech, their snapper, first. And he's like, well, you know, the crosswind, the wind was crazy. And it was, there was a point in practice where I was walking south along the sideline and the wind switched and suddenly it was in my face or vice versa. It was crazy. And Orzech said, well, you know,
the
wind
wasn't
great.
The way it might be inside Lambeau Field.
Right, exactly, which was where the conversation with Matt went. But when I went to Trey Smack and asked him, I said, yeah, look, there's going to be wind. I have to figure out how to get the ball through the uprights regardless of what the wind is doing. And I was like, ooh, I like this kid, right? Like, you know, I have covered kickers before, none that I'll name. But, like, it was always something, right? It was the hold was off or the timing was off with the snap or, you know, I got pressure from my left side. There were kickers where I was just like, hey, man, just say I missed the kick and I'll do better next time. And, you know, 5 for 9 today was not great. None of them, I think one of them was from 50 yards that he made. But it doesn't mean a whole lot. I do think it's significant, though, because I talked to a couple of different people today about this. And as I understand it, they did not release Brandon McManus because he asked to be released. That is not what happened. So I'm not sure what exactly did happen.
Ooh, good information.
But they either decided that it would just be better for Smack to not face competition from him, or maybe they didn't, I don't know. He didn't seem like the most warm and cuddly guy when I asked him about Haversick last year. So maybe they thought he wasn't going to be particularly receptive to Trey Smack either. I don't know. But as I understand, it doesn't sound to me like they granted him his wish to be released.
Good. No, I have one last quick question. On Twitter, it says, Jordan Love talks about the joys of being a girl dad. You have two girls. I've never, what is a girl dad? I mean, I have a girl's daughter. I don't.
Yeah, I'm not, I think I got one of those shirts from somebody as a gift that said girl
I'm
dad
happy and
first of all, number one, and having gone through some challenges with Sydney's health when she was a baby and Dr. Dave Margolis at Children's being so great, now becoming such a good friend, like, first of all, you just want them healthy first,
right?
And now, as you well know, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child. So I just want our girls to be happy.
Stolen from Jane Fonda. Yep.
I didn't know who said it. I knew it wasn't me that came up with it. But I think Jordan's just really excited.
He's such a nice guy.
And such a normal seeming guy. I did tell him because Ronica had come to Sydney's volleyball club to talk to the team a couple of years ago. I just said, hey, if she needs an extra pair of hands, Sydney's 15. She's now fully trained in all the different babysitting things. So, I did say, hey, welcome to the club. And he's beaming,
I was. She'll babysit at some point. In our family, I don't know that my mom loved her girls way more than her boys. She took them on trips, which was fine. And my daughter talks to her mom every day. Never talks to me, and I think it's great. So I don't know. Is that?
I would say that I don't want to put Sydney's business on the street, but I think she butts heads with Paula more than she butts heads with me.
So it just depends.
But they would both pick her over me if they had a vote one off the island. I think
this is the last comment about it, but I just assumed everybody feels that way about their mom.
That's why players turn to the camera. You know, dad, I can't remember who the comedian is that used to do it. Much as it pains me to say, I think it was Bill Cosby, who would do a bit about how dad would take you to practice and coach you up and teach you everything you need to know. And then the camera's on him and he turns and says, hi, mom.
Yeah.
And that's how dads are. That's how it works.
Yeah, it's fine. Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time, and worthy as 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year he's on the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. Talk about Milwaukee weight loss. It hasn't changed. Started at 229 and at 205, 206, 204, and it works. I did it partly because I'd known other people that did it, and they said, Homer, it's almost easy. And I said, there's no way any weight loss program can be easy. Well, I would say it pretty much is. I eat less and I'm happy eating less. I've been doing it for February, March, like 4 months. And I know I'm going to talk to you in 3 months and I'm going to tell you I'm the same because I eat less and I'm happy eating less. The program is different because there's nothing different. No intense workouts, no prepackaged meals, bars, shakes, or counting calories and points, no drugs, surgery, or injections. You start with the first couple months with what you eat, and can you continue doing that? Yes. Eat less and happy eating less. See how exactly it works for you. For a limited time, get $200 off of the Milwaukee Weight Loss Summer Special. Book your free consultation now at MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. That's MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Results may vary. Again, $200 off, MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. Others may have a different short segment. Mine is, I eat less, and I'm happy eating less, and I'm going to continue eating less, and it's almost easy. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
As stated before, OTAs today, business as usual with Packers running back Josh Jacobs. You can look up Rob Domofsky on Twitter. Business as usual in quotes. TVV, no, he's there. He was there coming shortly. Founded by inventors, fueled by community, and focused on business for 130 years, Horicon Bank has helped Wisconsin businesses grow, doing banking differently since 1896. Think about this in terms of commercial lending. Today, that same local approach is now part of the Milwaukee business community, bringing decision-making closer to the people who matter most, you. Financing requests approved in days, not weeks. Bankers who understand your business. Products designed to support real cash flow needs. Yes, when it comes to commercial lending, and they're doing that now in the Milwaukee business community, Horicon Bank gets the job done together, doing good for 130 years. TVV, Tim Van Vorn, Fox 6 Sports, next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. The three most important letters in sports. Even better than those.
TVV.
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 It's Fox 6 Sports Director Tim Van Vorn on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Tim Van Vorn, like Jason Wilde, strong enough to have his own Tim Van Vorn Yingling hotline. And my sources told me that I have been giving bad information about you. You're too nice to say so. Good evening, TVV.
Homer, pleasure to join you on the hotline of the oldest brewery.
Four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, not three. I was informed by your mom that that you're a four-time winner.
Oh, Homer, you're good. You're good. You're on top of things. Yep, thanks.
It's not nice. I can't remember the last time. I believe your mom is 94. The last time a woman 90 years plus was mad at me would be my mom. And I'm not really wishing to tell you what it was. So tell the world.
Restraint
yes.
of virtue.
When was the last? When was the last time
that my mom was mad at me? Or
no,
my mom was mad.
No,
at
the
you,
last time you won the Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year award, number four.
Homer, this isn't good radio.
I know that's going to be. You could say this the year, then we'll move on.
This is the year.
This year.
Yep.
Great. Congratulations. All right. What do you want to talk about regarding the Packers? Sugar Smacks, because that's the name I give him. We have Cheerios, the Brewer player. Now we have the kicker, Sugar Smacks. Everybody's keeping track of the kicks he made, and you were watching. And what would be, as you can put it in historical perspective, the importance of any of this?
Well, Sugar Smacks is dig 'em, right? I don't think the Packers would dig 'em today. You know, a little wind blowing up there. But you don't want your kicker missing. You know, this is going to be...
Yeah, the wind is like it's going to be at Lambeau Field, right? It would be...
Right. This is back to where we're going to be, you know, counting all these kicks all off season, like we had with Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph and Before McManus came in, Brandon McManus came in. Now we're going to be back to that. You want Trace Mack to make him? Lukas Aversick, of course, has the franchise longest record, and he's still on the roster too.
What's your thought on the kicker?
Well, they're putting the eggs in the basket of Trace Mack. I still don't understand the release of Brandon McManus at this point. I'm not saying I don't understand the release of McManus at some point. I don't understand why they did that now. The answer was a little bit evasive, I thought, last week from Matt LaFleur. To be fair to LaFleur, he was under the gun and distracted about other topics at that point. So, you know, at some point, maybe we'll find out more on that. But I didn't understand why you didn't take McManus through this with Smack and then, you know, made the best man win with maybe an eye toward the future. So, roll of the dice if you're going to go with a rookie kicker who admittedly has a strong leg and good self-confidence, but still roll of the dice.
I explain strong leg, like really, really strong leg, or?
He's not a big guy. I don't know if Jason's talked to you about it. He's not a big guy, but he generates plenty of power with that kick. His misses are, you know, he's got enough leg. That's not an issue. And McManus, I think, was losing some distance on the kickoffs and, he was later in his career, older, you know, a lot of use on a leg. So that might have been part of it too that we don't all think about.
And I've said with Josh Jacobs there, I don't have to make a comment on what did or didn't happen, but the fact that he's there, and I believe the quote was, quote, business as usual by LaFleur, makes me believe the chance of something horrible is no longer a part of the equation. How's the best way to put that if you want to agree, disagree, or not comment?
I'll follow you there, Homer. Obviously, and the players to a man were supportive of Josh Jacobs, the person, while backing away from any sort of legal comment, as exactly they should. Ongoing legal investigation or situation, but I would also be with you. Josh Jacobs is out there on the field. The coach says, your quote is correct, business as usual. And that's the way it looked. Josh Jacobs was in his normal positions with the team. You know, he's a leadership guy. He was in leadership, you know, spots where you'd expect your leaders to stand for the drills. They weren't minimizing anything with Josh Jacobs. If you hadn't known what happened for several hours last week, you certainly wouldn't know by watching today. And I don't know how it all go. I mean, the arrest and dire consequences for the man and his football career and the Packers. To the next day, well, maybe this is all going away. I mean, who knows? But those are very different points on the spectrum.
Is there anybody else you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the offensive line, Homer. Maybe when you got the doctor on with you, you can go to this.
Well, he's worried. I know that.
I know, but here's what I'm saying about the offense. I'm not vouching for him. That's his department to vouch for him or question him. Aaron Banks, he looks 10, 15 pounds down to me. Tight.
Whoa.
Tight, tight, tight. Much tighter than last year. Jordan Morgan is athletic. He's an athletic tackle. That's how you describe him. He looks athletic. Banks looks much more athletic to me than he did last year. Zach Tom is not a big guy. I'm wondering if they told these offensive linemen, bring it down a little bit. We're going to play a different type of line coming up this season. That's what I want you to ask the doctor about. He would know more than me, but Aaron Banks noticeably trimmer to me. Sean Ryan looks maybe even down a little bit. He's the center now. So Anthony Belton is down, to be honest with you. So, I mean, go across the board. Zach Tom, we haven't seen really, but Belton and Banks for sure. Belton, I would say as well, noticeably trimmer. And Morgan, his game is athletic and not big anyway.
I just think anybody's going to listen to this show and go, I love the tone of TVV.
I don't know whether that's good or bad. They might not be big enough. I don't know, Homer. But I noticeably trimmer on Aaron Banks, who had a lot of kind of nagging.
But you're saying all of this in a very positive tone. Am I analyzing this correctly or not?
I'm saying in a I haven't seen it or heard much about it so far tone. I would like you to see where somebody who's more knowledgeable about offensive
line football
would
go with me. I'm going to replay exactly what you said and let him comment on that on Thursday.
All right. All right. That'd be great. I'm curious.
Guaranteed. All right. Myles Garrett. I said the chance of the Packers getting to the Super Bowl just got even tougher because he makes the Rams better and everything is important as it relates to the Green Bay Packers. But I want to know what you thought when you heard, saw, and what you're thinking now that the Rams have Myles Garrett.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming at all. I thought last year Seattle and the Rams were 1 and 1A anyway. So I think they still are. Maybe you flip the order. And I think he definitely makes the Rams better. I think maybe the least happy guy in the NFL today is Jared Verse. What the heck happened? How did he get traded from the Rams to the Browns when I'm a good player? And, you know, the Rams are making a run at it. They've got some older players, sure. They got to keep all those guys on the field. But it reminds me a little bit of the Dodgers out there in L.A. Just get them all under the roof and trot them all out there when the games really matter.
And also, the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, you know his name?
Nolan Teasley.
No, wrong. John Ziggy Schneider's Will. Assistant. That's his name. Apparently, the Viking owners and leadership look at it just like I do. Can't get Schneider, let's get his assistant. Well, would you like to comment? Is my approach appropriate, or do you want me to calm down?
I never want you to calm down, Homer. I love the enthusiasm. No, play with it. Go with it. They used to sign all the ex-Packer players. Maybe they're signing the ex-Seahawk personnel folks.
We'll discuss John Schneider's assistant in the future. Four-time Wisconsin Sportscaster of the Year, TVV. Tell your mom, I'm sorry. Golf is next. Do it right. You're making love.